written by Solomon. Solomon writing to his son, trying to convey wisdom to him. And anytime anything in the Word of God is repeated, we ought to take heed to it. What we'll read at the end of chapter 24 is repeated several times in the book in different ways, but an exact reference to chapter 24 is given for the last two verses of the chapter in chapter 6 in verses 10 and 11. And as we study tonight, we won't go back and reference them, but it's the book is beginning in chapter 6, and he's beginning to build the Proverbs to a place where now he, in the early days, he told his son not to be slothful or not to he kind of woe unto that and tries to give him that picture, but just tells him the truth. But here, when he gets to chapter 24, under the inspiration of God, and maybe taking a good look at his son, remember who Solomon is, and Solomon's the richest, the wealthiest man on planet Earth. He's the wisest man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ to ever step foot on the planet. And he's come to this place where he's taken a good hard look at his son, and he realizes repeatedly he needs to tell his son not to be slothful. Now, we kind of took in our Wednesday night Bible study and even kind of talked about how it's important for us as we train our children to pass on to them a good work ethic. It's good for us. It's something that's needful for a people. I believe that one of the reasons that we are one of the greatest nations in the world is because of our past forefathers and the work that they, again, they blazed a trail and cut out of wilderness what we so enjoy today. And again, sometimes I believe we've come to a place of slothfulness. Now, I'm looking at a group of people that I don't believe that is necessarily guilty of that. But Solomon is going to write to his son and not only really tell him and repeat what he said that was truth back in chapter 6, but he's going to lead into it and give a picture. He's trying to paint a picture like we talked about this morning, giving him an illustration of what the man's field looks like and what his walls look like when he's been slothful, when he's void of understanding. And so as we study the Word of God tonight, I'm going to take a long way around to get where I want to go. But I hope you'll stay with me, and we're going to turn the pages late in the message tonight. But I want to encourage the believer tonight. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll focus on the field being grown up with weeds. We'll take a look at the day and age that we live, and we'll look at the walls being torn down. And we'll not take a good look at how it happened and how it got there and make sure that's not true about our lives. And we'll make sure that that's not true about our families. We'll make sure that we can hedge up our area or put up our walls or rebuild them and realize these things are how I get there, and I've got to combat these things at every corner, at every angle of my life. And so as we get ready to read the scripture tonight, let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us once again. Let's pray together. Dear God, I do ask that you just bless us, God. You know, as I read this, Lord, I want to be encouraging, Lord. I pray that you would guide my words, my speech, Lord. I'm just your messenger boy. And God, I ask tonight that you would, the message that you put in me, God, that it would, that it'd come out, that the Holy Spirit of God would have reign, that he would control, and he would just take control of the words. Hide me behind your cross. Let people see only you and your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In Proverbs chapter 24, and we'll look in the last few verses, verse number 30. Again, we see a man writing to his son and speaking a proverb in a time of prosperity about a future poverty that would come if things were true. He spoke in a time of prosperity of what could come to pass if these things came to pass in his life. In verse 30, he says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nestles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Now tonight, I believe if we looked around our country, and we could still say, compared to all the other nations of the world, and if I could kind of picture America to Solomon's day, His father, David, was a man that, well, after God's own heart, who had walked with God, who had really tried to go to war with the enemies of God, and had established a place. If I could compare America to Israel and give us a good representation that our forefathers decided that they weren't going to have any of that, that they were going to establish their families, and they were willing to fight for what they believed in. And again, they did. They did that and won a great victory through the Lord, just like David. David went out against a giant, but not in his own strength, but in the strength of the Lord and in the name of the Lord. Couldn't have won that victory in his own strength, but because of what God did, he won a great victory. There's too many battles in our history as Americans. If we were to go back into American history, fog showed up just at the right time to let us slip out and keep an army intact, to be able to fight another day. And sometimes storms, God fought for us and smashed the British boats and drowned the sailors before they ever made it to land, so that we didn't ever have to fight them. Things that God did that we can't explain in human terms, but God fought for us just like he did for David, and founded a nation and gave us a time of prosperity through several ages. Yes, we've had economic demise and times of trouble. We've had times where we trusted in the stock market rather than our two hands and our two feet and our good sense, and we invested everything and everything fell. Just as easy as it came, easy did it go. You ever heard that term, easy come, easy go? And it's exactly when you play the slot machine of the stock market, that's what you're going to get sometimes, folks. And that, I think that that's something we need to learn from. But coming full circle, the slothful man comes here, and he speaks of this slothful man. He says, this guy, he's slothful. You can see he didn't even work in his field. If we were to read in a few verses back, you'd find he says that first you lay the field out, then you lay the wall around it. There's no need to protect something that you don't have. There's no need to build a wall around something. Listen, if you don't have your family and you have and want to protect it again, then why build a wall around something that's not, you've not laid the foundation in the right place? If you're not dug deep and started something that needed to be stuck there. So here, if you lay the foundation, a time of prosperity, he writes to a son and he tells him, don't you be slothful. Don't you do that. Don't you be like these other folks that are void of understanding. This is the wisest man in the world, because he says, I've got wisdom, but wisdom and knowledge put together, understanding is the right use of knowledge and wisdom together. It's saying knowing what to do, and understanding is understanding how to apply this wisdom and knowledge, how to take it out and put something together, how to go out and lay plants in the field. I know plants grow and I know plants produce fruit, but they won't produce fruit if you don't put them in the ground, weed around them and water them. You got to work. You've got to lay work around that thing. So here we see, according to the scripture, he says, I went by the field in verse 30 of the slothful man, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. If there ever was a day, not just as a field and some things that we could see with slothfulness, but there's been attacks, but no rebuilding of the wall. In our day and age, we've had attacks on the church. We've had attacks on the family. We've had attacks in all different areas. Today, we stood against abortion. And again, that's another attack, not only on the family, but the church. And so these attacks, again, sometimes we're trying. I mean, I believe today that is a step of faith to go out and stand up for what is right. But we need to be doing that on a daily basis. We need to be bombarding the throne of heaven with prayers. And then those of us who have that time to, again, write letters to all these different senators and everybody that thinks they're high and mighty, they need to be reminded on a daily basis, bombarded with emails and letters, that they work for us. They don't work for themselves, their own agenda, or the one world agenda of the United Nuts. And again, we must come to a place where we realize that God has laid the foundation of the church, and there, this book, these foundational doctrines are what protects the home. They are what protect the family. They are what protect the church. we live in this day and age. I heard somebody tell me today, I'm not sure how true it is, but they were talking about these laws out in Texas, and somebody said, told me that the one lady got on television and said that until they change these abortion laws, we're going to practice abstinence. Amen. And we all said amen. I'm just here to tell you, folks, when you're void of understanding, you'll make stupid statements like that. You won't even really know why you stand for what you stand for. You're just out there talking. You're just out there taking, you're just going forward because, again, you've been propped up or duped by the mainstream media, the mainstream of the day. We've got to come to a place in this Christian life that we realize not only do we need to be saved and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then we need to grow and add to our faith and not be void of understanding. There are people that have come into the church house that spend their entire life just born again and simple because they never got in the book. They vote the wrong way sometimes, not because they don't want to do right. It's because they never learned how to do right. They were void of understanding. They have knowledge. Maybe they're a college graduate, or maybe even they have their master's degree. But until you take the knowledge that you have crammed into this head and take and balance it with the Word of God, which is true wisdom, you will never come to a place of understanding. You can know a bunch of stuff, but be as dumb as a brick. Amen. Pastor said it over and over again that we have people that are educated past common sense. And that is truth. And you know how we can know that? Because even people that are religious, you walk into a place and the place is dead on the inside. It is full of weeds. It's full of overgrowth. It's dead and on its way out, but you look at the outside and they keep the outside of the sepulcher painted. They keep painting up the outside. There are people that are void of understanding and they're still trying to keep the wall up so that people going by think everything's okay on the inside. Folks, I'm here to tell you that the wall is there to protect what's on the inside. The wall of our beliefs and our faith and why we practice what we practice is to protect the family. It's to protect the church. It's to protect us and our faith. It's to protect the home. I can't say it enough because I believe in the day and age we live in, too many times we let too many things slip into our homes, into our church, into our lives, into our, if I could say that what we think is wisdom, we let it creep in. And all of a sudden, we've come to a place where we're sitting right beside somebody who's void of understanding, and we can't figure out how we got there. Now, again, I don't believe I'm preaching to a group of slothful people, but it's good for us to hear. It's good for our young people to hear that they ought not pick a job for the rest of their life because it's easy. But they ought to pick a job in life and say, God, what did you create me for? What is the will of God for my life? And then set out to do it because it's worth doing. Amen. There's too many people in this life that just pick something easy to do so they can get a paycheck. And as much as I like to get a paycheck, it is not what I live for. Too many times we give terrible, reckless information to young people because we're void of understanding. We may be soured on where we are financially, and yet we'll counsel a young person to turn from the will of God for their lives because we don't think that they're financially going to be taken care of. When my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, when my God don't have any problems taking care of it. And oftentimes, and I'll say it, and I'm not after trying to make you mad, but I believe that you ought to hear it once and again. God created us to, again, He takes care of our needs and not all of our wants. And most of the trouble is not because you're not making it or taking care of it. Sometimes it's because you're not tithing. And because you won't tithe, God drilled holes in your pockets. And it's falling out on the ground. When if you would just go on and just trust God with that one more step, He would multiply. He said He'd open the windows of heaven and take care of you. Yeah. If you can trust him with your eternity, why can't you trust him with 10% of what he gave you anyway? That's not because I want the coffers to be full. That's because I want you to be blessed as God's people. I want you to get past that one place where you can't trust God in your life and watch God bless you beyond anything you could ever see. One of the hardest things for a preacher to do is to sit down and counsel somebody that sits on the other side of the desk and says, "Why are these things happening to me, preacher?" And I have to go, "Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying on a regular basis? And are you tithing?" I knew a preacher, a big name preacher, that said, "If you're not doing either one of them things, I'm not going past that. Go do that. And then if you're still having trouble, come back and see me." Hey, folks, sometimes, and we don't like to be put in that category of being void of understanding, but a lot of times, as I said this morning, we're hearers of the word only and not doers. And that's not, we too many times equate that to the works for rewards when it's something that we need to apply to our life for God to bless us. Here he talks about a man and his vineyard's tore down. This is his way of making money or providing for his family. His field is torn apart because he's been slothful and he's void of understanding. And he comes down and he says, then we see what Solomon says to his son that's different than what we see in chapter 6. He says, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." If you're a Christian here tonight and you're wondering, what did the preacher preach on that for tonight? Why is he touching on these things? Listen, if God's Holy Spirit has been poking on you about either being slothful in some area of your life or void of understanding in that area, then you ought to be just like Solomon and say, "And then I saw it. I saw it clearly in my life. I saw it when the preacher preached on it, the Holy Spirit of God said, that's me. That's you." And then he comes to a place, he says, "And I looked upon it. I considered it well, I looked upon it." Considered it well is to understand, to take a good look and to know, to have knowledge of it. Then not just to have knowledge of it, he says, and then he goes, "I looked upon it well." Then he goes past that, not just having knowledge, but takes wisdom of the situation. Then goes past it and says, "And received instruction." This book not only tells us, a lot of times we're convicted because we hear the word of God and we get offended instead of receiving instruction. Do you know what, when you go to work and you're at work and you're there and somebody gives you a job to do, sometimes you're just receiving instruction. But sometimes we look at it like somebody's out to get me. They always give me the worst jobs. They always send me to the worst places. When all the boss man said was, "Go down here and do this job," because it needed done. Sometimes in the Christian life, especially for tithing, if it's something that you haven't practiced, that's a pretty big hump on the camel. It's a pretty big trust to take 1/10 of what you get and to give it to God. But it don't make it, it doesn't, just because it's a hard thing doesn't mean make it any less true. And doesn't make it any less receiving of instruction. That doesn't mean, listen, who should give a 10%? Staff members? Absolutely. The preacher? Absolutely. Children? Absolutely. We should teach them from a young age. You know, if they could grab this concept when they were a child, they could live it out and be blessed their whole life. You know who would make it easier to teach it to them? If mom and dad would do it too. And you know what? Grandma and grandpa should do it. You don't ever age out of it. Well, it's not an income. Well, did God increase you with it? If you were increased, then we're supposed to tithe off of it. Makes it easy. I just learned a long time ago, it was better for me. My conscience felt so much better when I just decided, instead of trying to figure out, you know, $32.10, I just gave God the benefit of the doubt. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't figure it down to the last red cent. I started making sure it was 33. Because I didn't even want to be close to not giving God his tithe. And God always is blessed because of that. God's always taking care of it. You say, well, preacher, there must be a bunch of people not tithing. I don't know. That's between you and God. How'd you get tithing out of this passage? I'm not sure. I just read the Bible and God took me there. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, folks, but I'm going to tell you, what happens is we let the field get all bare and broken down. And then we don't look for it. See, the two troubling things we find in the passage is slothfulness. And that can not only be applied to our work ethic in our work everyday lives, but it can also be applied to our Christian life. And whether we're slothful in the way we study the Bible, the way we pursue our relationship with God, do I actively pursue my relationship with the Holy God? Do I apply myself to studying His Word and trying to grow in understanding? And then we could take it beyond that. And then what did I get from it? Did I receive instruction? Or did I just click off my time? Did I read my verse? Did I just spend my time in prayer, praying for just me and mine, and not reaching out for someone else that's hurting? So many times when we apply these things to our lives and we receive instruction, it'll change us, folks. It'll be a time where we really want God to do something in our life, and it makes it real again. It makes Him real. It makes the Christian life the big deal that it always should have been. Every Sunday around here ought to be the Super Bowl. We ought not have to put up banners and flags and do all the things that we've done to have a big time. It's good to do that. It's fun, isn't it? It reminds us that it can be a big deal. But every Sunday ought to be a big deal to us. Every week ought to be in preparation for being able to serve the Lord another day. To be able to see people saved and come together as a church and have fellowship. And again, we could say, what we do in preparation, we ought to prepare ourselves for our Sunday school lessons and for our bus routes and in prayer and praying. Folks, if you come into the building, we ought to pray that people don't trip coming in or out the doors. We ought to pray that God speaks to hearts while they're inside the building. It ought not just be the preacher that's praying or the staff. It ought to be every member praying for what God's going to do in His house. And then when we pray like that, when we come into His house, we will feel the Spirit of God in this place. We will see God do a work. Because not only will we have prayed for it, but we'll have invited somebody to be there with us. And we'll go past that. And then when people come in, they'll come in and see these things and like, hey, the field isn't dead. Man, they've vacuumed the carpet and they made preparations for me. All the lights work because the maintenance man screwed a bulb in there. The air condition's on and everything's ready for us to have church. The choir has practiced and they sing and the specials were right on the mark and they touched my life. And listen, every piece of God's house working together to work towards the ultimate goal of people receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. All of this, let me show you what the opposite of being void of understanding. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 with me tonight as we kind of head towards home, and I just wanted to be able to show you some things. Do you know being void of understanding is one of the things that tore the wall down? If we're going to protect our homes and protect the church, protect our own lives from the devil creeping into our lives and destroying our testimonies, we have to understand some things. God says in Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll look at it with me, we'll begin reading in verse 14, that slothful man, a little bit asleep. Let me go back and read it to you before we read Ephesians chapter 5. Let me go back to Proverbs and read that passage to you again. He says here, a little sleep, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and then so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth. And thy want as an armed man. Do you know in our day and age that travaileth as we're going to Ephesians chapter 5? If you're there, I want you to be there. I'm going to read the scripture, but I want you to understand this. That word travaileth, a lot of times that we think about it, where did that come from? It sounds much like a lady having labor, troublesome thing, right? The word's from travel, traveleth. It's the third person of the word travel, but the actual meaning of the word is to walk backwards. This idea of poverty is that we have come to a place where God has blessed us. We've come to a place in our nation that we've arrived at a place, but now instead of going on, and doing and prospering instead of going forward in wisdom and letting God bless and do what he wants to do, we decide to back up on him. Sounds a lot like backsliding to me. And then he says, in thy want as an armed man. If there ever was a country that was taken with the wants, I'm talking want. I want a new car. I want a new house. I want this and I want that. If there ever was a country that was taken with its own wants, we're going to want ourselves into bankruptcy as a nation. Many families have already wanted themselves into bankruptcy. Spending money they don't have on a credit card, hoping that God will bless them and bring it in. That's a bad way. That's a bad economic system for the American people. And too many times there are believers who are void of understanding. And so what's coming? We've spent our freedoms, folks. And I don't want to get caught up here. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5, but I feel like I must say this. There are things that we decided to do because somebody was a Republican when they were in office, and we gave them freedoms because we had fear and we thought we could trust them with that. Well, the Republicans didn't always stay in office. And if you wanted to really check their record, they probably didn't take care of it either. They probably usurped their authority in the areas we gave them and overstepped the bounds of our freedom. And we constantly, because of our wants, to fulfill our own needs, not to take care of the future, the walls, and the field, we've sold our freedom cheap for once. And we're already seeing the beginning of the armed man showing up. Because now the wall's torn down. And the fields, and so how do we go forward? We got to get to the place where we have understanding. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says this, wherefore he saith, in verse 14, look at it with me, chapter 5, Ephesians, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. If there was ever a day and age that was true, it keeps getting truer and truer as days move on. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. As believers, we desperately need to be seeking and not slothful in the Word of God, understanding what God's will is. We don't need to be wasting our time as a church with things that God has not willed us to take care of. We don't need to be spending one extra moment on something that will not see somebody saved. We shouldn't spend any extra time. The days are evil. The end is close. I believe that Jesus could come at any moment, and I don't want to waste one ounce of energy on something that will not bring him glory. We must awake out of our sleep and think that it's always going to keep on keeping on just like it always has. No, no, no. We got to come to a place and realize that even the way it has been isn't the best way for it to go. And we ought to get on track and get after God. We ought to try to repent as a nation and come to God with an awareness and an understanding that this isn't the will of God for our nation. This isn't what God wants us to do. God didn't want us to have free will abortions across our nation. God didn't want us to legalize everything and call it marriage. God didn't want us to go in all these different areas. God sure doesn't want us to start supplying all the money that every Arab nation needs to come and get after us. God doesn't want any of those things. God doesn't want us to abandon his nation Israel. God doesn't want us to be after all these things. We have desperately got to get in the Word of God and understand not only what the will for me is, but for my family and for my nation, and then seek to see it done in my life, in my family's life, in my church's life, and in my nation. He goes on, understanding. We're going to just see some things about understanding. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. I'll give you a second to get there. I've marked them in my Bible. Philippians chapter 4 as we turn on. Philippians 4, and we'll begin in verse number 7. Sometimes when we see these things, and you may not think that this is exactly where it needs to land, but look at it. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He starts by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice in verse 4. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. See, understand, he wants, what is the will of God? Well, God is giving, he's giving you instruction. Are you receiving it? How am I supposed to act in this life? I ought to let my moderation be known to all men. Everybody ought to know where I stand. My moderate speech, my moderate dress, my moderate living, the way I live moderately in my economic outflow of my home and my funds. You want to really mess somebody up. Preachers told story after story about those lost race car driver, people with him, and he came, got saved and started tithing, not only on his money, but somebody else's. You ought to let your moderation be known unto all men. Not bragging for what you know about what you're given, but if somebody wants to know, well, how do you do it? That ought to be an opportunity for you to tell somebody about a Savior who died on Calvary and paid for your sins, and all he asked of me, he wants to supply the needs of his church. He wants to bless my home. I'm bought with a price. All 100% of my money is his. All he asked back was the 10%, his tithe. He goes on and he comes to a place where he says here in verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of, look, he says, things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He goes through the list of things here that we even ought to think on in our lives. The person that's void of understanding, his thought life is everywhere. I preached not too long ago, he's got a wide open mind. Somebody that's not slothful in their Bible study, they're not wide open to the attack of the devil or suggestion of the world. They know the will of the Lord. They know that they're supposed to think on things, that all this list of things, whatsoever things are true and honest, and we could go through those things. And most of the things of the world would be chopped off right with the first two. True and honest. Amen. Folks, he tells us to be understanding. Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul writing to the church at Colossae, in verse 2, he says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You say, well, why do I need this understanding? Because all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are stored up in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Father, in this Word. If I want to not be void of understanding, I've got to get in His Word and I've got to gain this understanding that God desperately wants to give me. I have to receive instruction. 1 John, if you would. 1 John, we're heading somewhere. We're going to head all the way to the back of the book and be done. 1 John, chapter number 5. 1 John 5. I want you to, again, remember the message here, the mindset of where we are in our day and age, where we are, where we live. In verse number 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. In the last days, in the heading towards the end of the book, the Apostle John writes under the inspiration of Scripture that he knew the world would be covered in wickedness. And if there was anything that would be a big capital W for our day that would state the day and hour we live, other than just evil, it would be wickedness. And we are there, living in that age. And God has given us, he says, and hath given us an understanding. As we go towards Revelation and we're about to read that, do you know desperately at the end of the book that God has to give us an understanding of who the true Lord Jesus is, and not to be confused with the Antichrist? Not to be confused with those that are void of understanding and are taken by strong delusion, because we live in that day. The spirit of Antichrist runs wild in this world. And it says in the scripture that if it wasn't for that shortening of the day, that even the elect could be, I mean, if it could be so, that even the elect, you know why it's not so? Because we've been given an understanding from the Father of who the true Savior is. If you're a believer and you know Jesus tonight, I'm thankful that I'm not looking for tribulation or wrath. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come and take me out of this place as a part of His church. But I'm thankful, and the only reason I got it is because God gave it to me. And the only reason I'm not void of understanding like everybody else in the world is because God called me into Himself and I received Him as my own. I received instruction. I remember being a little boy in a church house sitting in school chapel, and I've heard it over and over again until finally I received the instruction that Jesus was the true Savior of the world. And I accepted Him as my own personal Savior, because I had a long time I knew that Jesus died for my sins. A long time I knew that He had paid my price on Calvary. A long time I had knowledge of all those things. But one day, when I humbled myself and I stepped out and I walked in old-fashioned aisle, I got an understanding that He could be mine. Not just something or some theory, some thought or something out there, but my personal Savior. And that understanding became, it was true to me. And it changed me. I've never been the same since that day. But if I'm not careful, I can still be somewhat void of understanding like the rest of the world. Turn to Revelation with me, chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 16 as we finish tonight. Revelation 13. And He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Look at verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. And his number is 666. Folks, if you don't understand that in the scripture, understanding is important for the believer, because there are a world of people that are void of understanding. And the reason we study this book is so we can keep the walls high. The reason we study this book is so we can walk close and keep the fields inside the walls clean and keep the weeds out and keep it just like it was. I want Jesus to come back. He even said, will there be faith when He returns? I desperately want for this place, the place that I plow, the place that I pull weeds, the place that I serve God, I want Him to come back and find faith here. I want Him to come find faith in me, and not just me, but the believers that meet together in this building, because we have an understanding of the Word of God. Amen. Tonight, listen, believer, I don't know where you are, but maybe you've gotten slothful in your Bible reading, slothful in your prayer life, slothful in some area that let the weeds creep into your life. I beg you tonight, come and do what God, receive instruction and start pulling weeds in your life. Get back into the Word of God. Do what God tells you to do tonight. Whatever God spoke to your heart, but more than ever, we can see the writing on the wall. We can see, even if this thing that's going on through the world isn't the mark of the beast, it's going to bring it in short order. And it's only because of the understanding that God gave us that we can even see that it's coming. And we need to grow in our understanding, do we not? With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? The musicians are going to come. I've done my best to give my heart tonight what God laid on my heart tonight. And I know it wasn't polished and perfected. But if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we're going to give an invitation. We'd love for you to step out and come and get a good understanding of what salvation is in Jesus Christ. If you'd step out and come, believers have come. If you're, God has spoken to your heart, maybe something that's going on in your life, why don't you step out and come and let God work in your life. Give him something that you need to give him and give it away and say, God, take this. I need you to have this. I need you to work in my life and do the work, as Brother Burt sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now, I surrender.
With me tonight. Some have come, some are making decisions here. Let me ask again, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're not sure for if you died right now that you'd spend eternity with him in heaven, we're going to give you another opportunity. Why don't you respond to the invitation? Just step out and come down the aisle. If you don't know for sure, why don't you come and get it sure? If you're not sure, why don't you come and put your trust in Jesus tonight? Don't let another day go by without trusting in him, as Brother Burt sings.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender.
For you to be seated. We got a few things to share with you. And